Our reading today is from John. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said these things to you to keep you from stumbling. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, an hour is coming when those who kill you will think that by doing so, they are offering worship to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, I want to welcome those who are joining us by internet this morning. We always want to welcome you folks who are not able to be with us here in Indianapolis, but are very much aware hundreds of people from different locations around the world join us in our services each week. So we welcome you today. Well, why don't we begin with a few lawyer jokes? That's always good for a laugh, isn't it? Start some lawyer jokes. How can you tell when lawyers are lying? They're moving their lips. Yeah. What do you call 25 skydiving lawyers? Skeet. What do you throw a drowning lawyer? The partners. Here's one more. Little boy moves into the neighborhood, meets the other little boy next door. They introduce themselves. My name's Billy. My name's Tommy. One asks the other, what does your dad do? Well, my dad's an accountant. What does your dad do? My dad's a lawyer. The other one says, honest? He says, no, the regular kind. So have I managed to thoroughly offend all of the lawyers who are here today? Why is it lawyer jokes are so popular? If you don't believe me, try this the next time you're on Google. You know, when you start to type a word on Google, it will try to predict what you're searching for. Before you finish, it will drop down a list of possible topics you're looking for. Go home today, type the word lawyer, and one of the things that will drop down immediately is lawyer jokes. Lawyer jokes. I mean, lawyers are popular targets for jokes, which makes it very interesting that when Jesus was looking for a figure to compare to the Holy Spirit, Jesus chose a lawyer. 5 times in the Gospel of John, this is how Jesus compares the Holy Spirit. So lawyers, I'm giving you a little ammo today. If you get tired of people making fun of you or accusing you of being unspiritual, you just tell them, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is like a lawyer. He says that in the passage of John's Gospel known as the Farewell Discourse, chapters 14 through 17, where Jesus prepares his followers for his departure, for the time when he's no longer going to be with them. And he says, when that time comes, I'm going to send you the counselor. The counselor. Jesus borrows language from the courtroom to describe the work of the Holy Spirit. Today we would translate it attorney or lawyer. Those words were not used in such a way in Jesus' day, but it was a very broad term. That's why some Bibles will say counselor for Holy Spirit. Some will use the word we just heard in the scripture reading, advocate. Some will say comforter. Some will say helper. Some will say friend. That's because a good lawyer is like all of those things. A good lawyer gives us advice, counsels us. A good lawyer represents us, advocates on our behalf. A good lawyer sits by our side as we go through the proceedings, comforts us, helps us. A good lawyer is like having a good friend. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is like a lawyer. It must have been a well thought out, well chosen analogy by Jesus, because Jesus himself is about to go on trial. Within hours of speaking these words to his followers, Jesus would be arrested. He would be on trial in a courtroom. He would be sentenced. He would be executed. It was like Jesus was telling his disciples, everything I'm speaking to you now about what the Holy Spirit can do for a person, I'm now going to demonstrate. You're about to see it lived out in my life. And what is it that we see when Jesus is on trial? We see that he remains amazingly calm. Jesus doesn't lose his composure when he's on trial. Jesus doesn't retaliate even when he's wrongly accused. He doesn't lash out. He doesn't try to get even. He remains true to his character. Throughout the trial, Jesus did not lose his desire to show compassion for other people. On the cross, he prayed for those who put him there and said, Father, forgive them. On the cross, he thinks of his own mother and commends her to the care of a disciple. On the cross, he thinks about the thief who was next to him and grants him forgiveness and pardon. He doesn't lose his character in the process. Jesus maintains his faith. He was very clear that he wished God would take it from him, that things could be different. God, if there's any way, let something different happen. And yet he's able to say, God, I still commit myself fully to you. Your will be done. He remains devoted. Jesus says, this is what the Holy Spirit will do for his followers. He does not promise that the people who commit their lives to him are going to be spared trials. In fact, he says just the opposite. For those who have committed their lives to him, it is going to mean facing trial. It is going to lead you into trial. He made that point in the passage that we heard earlier. So the point of faith is not to somehow give us an advantage on staying out of trouble. The point is, our faith gives us special representation. Jesus promises us appointed counsel when we are on trial. So when we go through a trying time, what is it the Holy Spirit will do for us? Well, it will do for us what we see in the life of Jesus. For one thing, it will help us maintain our character. When you're going through a trying time, is it ever easy for you to let that become an excuse for acting in ways that are uncharacteristic? Sometimes I hear people say things like, well, it's because I was so angry that I said what I said. Well, if you had known what they did to me, you would understand I had a right. As if the circumstances justify acting in ways contrary to our nature. And Jesus would say, yeah, you can't use that. You see, you have special appointed counsel you can call on. You can use that help that will allow you to remain true. Think about a modern day courtroom for a moment. If you're on trial, you are perhaps the one person who cannot talk. When somebody is saying something about you or against you, even if it's untrue, you can't respond. What do you have to do? Turn to your attorney. You whisper to your attorney. The attorney will express that for you. Or the attorney will determine when is the right time to say that, if there is going to be a right time at all. You use your counsel. What does that look like spiritually? I had a man come to me one time, and he sat down in my office and just started pouring out a very painful experience he was walking through, a trial, literally a trial. He was separating from his wife, and she was taking a very hard line of action on custody of their young daughter. She was demanding that the ex-husband, the man, the father, have no rights to be with his daughter. And the man was struggling with it. As he was talking to me about going through these proceedings, he said, "My wife shared something with me some years ago about abuse that she experienced as a little girl. I really, really believe that her experience has impacted our marriage, and it's having a big part to play in what we're going through right now. And I don't want to lose my daughter. I'm thinking about bringing this out in the trial. What do you think?" I said, "I think you need to think long and hard about that. If you take that line of action, it cannot be undone. It won't be taken back. Who knows, but it might make it a lot worse. Here's what I recommend. You pray hard. You pray until you get a strong sense of leading. And when you get that leading, you act on it." A few months later, I got this letter from him. He said, "Dear Rob, thank you for meeting with me to discuss the problems of my marriage and the absence of being with my daughter. Our discussion of not bringing the abuse my wife suffered as a child into the public arena remained in my heart. After many hours with my attorney, we wrote a letter to her lawyer outlining the problems. Looking back, I realize it was maybe a last resort plan of defense. I know after both my lawyer and I slept on it, we decided not to send the letter and go with what we had. My future concerns are with the development of my daughter and easing my wife's fears. I truly believe that had I pressed on, I would not have been with my daughter yesterday for the first time in many months. The judge heard our case. I listened to what my wife had to say. She was in fear of me for over 4 years, and she never told me. I was broken, disappointed, and yet I understood. Her fears and my frustration of not being able to deal with the highly sensitive area, combined with a lack of respect from the in-laws, deteriorated our relationship. The judge's decision was to have unsupervised visitation one day a week and weekends every other week. In September, the visitation will be extended, and in November, it will be reviewed. I'm happy. My daughter and I had such a great time yesterday. We got to eat snow cones and take pony rides. I even helped her go potty. What a natural high. I really miss being with her. We've all taken a small step. With the guidance of a social worker that all three of us meet with, this transition will hopefully not be too painful for my wife. There are many more steps to take. Through the help of Stephen Ministries and friends at church, I've been able to turn many corners and hold on to integrity. One day, I look forward to taking my daughter to children's church. That'll be another great step. Thank you again." I believe the best help this man got was from his counselor on high, who charges no hourly fees. His spiritual attorney, the Holy Spirit, who helped him remain true to his nature and not abandon that in the heat of a very, very difficult moment. He will do that for you. But he'll also do something else. The Holy Spirit will help us hold on to our faith, because there's nothing like going through a difficult trial, especially when we can't see the point of it, that makes us let go of faith. When we can't see the purpose or the reason, and we don't know why or how anything good could come out of it, that we begin to say, God, are you even present in this? You must not be. And when we turn to the Holy Spirit, we will find something that helps us hold on even when we don't understand it. Again, think about a modern day courtroom. In representing a defendant, every now and then an attorney will cite a previous case. The attorney might say, well, Judge, Your Honor, looking at the case of Miller versus the state, or looking at the case of Williams versus Smith, uses somebody else's trial to be of benefit now. Now think about it. Those people who get cited sometimes may have found themselves in a place at one point where they said, why am I going through this? What good could come out of it? Only to have their case later on be of benefit to somebody else. Jesus says, one of the things the Holy Spirit does for us is to remind us of his teachings. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the things Jesus has said and done to help us get through our trials and hold on to faith. Now again, what does that look like? In 1960, a six-year-old girl named Ruby Bridges went to school for the first time. And like most first graders, she was excited. She was happy to be going to school. But unlike many of her friends, she didn't get on a bus and ride to school that day. She didn't get dropped off or walked to school by her parents. Ruby Bridges got to have an escort to school. An escort by two federal marshals, one in front of her and one behind her. That's because she was the first African-American child permitted into an all-white school. This picture shows her walking up the steps. I believe we have a picture where up in the upper left-hand corner, you see the steps, and you see a little girl walking up the steps with the two federal marshals by her side. And now you're going, well, why did she have to have federal marshals? It's because of the people you see in the front of the picture. Every day, Ruby Bridges had to walk through a gauntlet of white protesters screaming at her, angry, as this next picture shows. People yelling and upset that their school was becoming integrated. They couldn't believe it, and they were taking it out on this little girl. One day, a woman tried to spit on Ruby as she walked by, and she missed. And Ruby just stopped and looked at the woman and nodded her head. Every day, when she would get up on the top of the steps and look back at the people, she would turn to the federal marshals and say, every night, I pray for God to forgive them because I know they don't understand. What possesses a child to act that way? It caught the attention of a Harvard psychiatrist named Robert Coles. He came down to New Orleans to meet with Ruby and her family, and every day he spent time trying to learn and understand what's going on in the life of this child to be able to act that way. He concluded there is no modern psychiatric explanation for this, nothing that any of the books he had read could explain. But this is what he found. If I had to offer an explanation, I think it would start with the religious tradition of many black people, which is often far greater in significance than many white observers have tended to allow. In home after home, I have seen Christ's teachings, Christ's life, Christ's words connected to the lives of children by their parents. Cole says, as best I can discern it, I would say that it has to be Jesus. Wow. Going through a time of trial, the Holy Spirit makes real in us another one who went through a trial that at the time made no sense, but later would come to be understood as something God was working through for the benefit of many, many, many others. Interesting thing about Ruby Bridges. She grew up to live most of her young adult life and early adult life not even thinking about the impact of her childhood. She got married, started raising children, didn't even give it much consideration. And one day, she was taking her own children into the same school she integrated in 1960, and it all came back to her. All of the memories, all of the experience. And she started to think, maybe God wants to use that. A few years later, that Harvard psychiatrist wrote a book called The Moral Lives of Children. And in the book, he tells about Ruby Bridges. People started coming to her saying, would you help us understand how faith can make a difference in our lives? And that's what she does now. She helps relate her experience as a child to help people going through their own trials today. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will do that for you and for me. We have heavenly appointed counsel to represent us when we are going through trying times that make no sense and would tempt us to abandon our values and our beliefs and everything we hold dear and say, hold fast. Don't give up. Do you need that kind of help? Maybe right now, maybe today, you're going through some kind of trial. And you're just looking for some way to get through it. Something that's going to make sense of it. Something that's going to give you some leverage over it. And what you need is the Holy Spirit. Right now, I just invite you to welcome that help, that counsel, that advocate in your life. Let us pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, you know our needs. And you come to us, as Jesus promised, to be our counselor, our advocate, our comforter, our helper. So, Lord, we surrender to you. We surrender our desire to get even, if that's the case. We surrender to you our need to make sense of everything, if that's the case. We surrender our expectations and say, Lord, you give us what we need. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Be strong and mighty within me that I may be true to the person you made me to be. And I would hold on to a faith that has hold of me. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.